But 1 Kings chapter 16, look in verse 29. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. That's a big statement right there. He had done wickedness more than anybody else that had been a king before him. Now, stay with me. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now, what is that talking about? Jeroboam was the one that set up, he took two golden calves, and he set them up as king of Israel. And he says, these be the gods that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He did not want them to go back down to Jerusalem. Remember, it's a split kingdom. He did not want them to go back down to Jerusalem and worship because he's afraid they might go back. And so he set up idol worship in the land of Israel. And he did not give glory and that to God who brought him out of the nation of Israel. And so he says, if it's a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took the wife, to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, a king of the Zidonians, went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Well, God, I'm telling you, man, what did he do to provoke God? He done more than anybody else had. And in verse 34, and in his days did Hiel, the Bethelite, build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof, and his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. You be seated this morning. Lord, I pray you'd help us now while we might preach. I pray that you'd anoint us afresh and touch us from heaven and give us the message here. I believe this is the message for the hour, but Lord, we certainly need a touch from you. And Lord, you know that we have worried ourselves over this message. And Lord, we just want it to be the right message for the hour today. And Lord, for your people to get instruction and for sinners and that to hear the gospel, that they truly might get saved and be ready for heaven. Lord, again, I ask you for help. Give us, Lord, just open our mind and our heart and that to the Word of God. And Lord, let the Word of God go out and Lord, just deal with folks' hearts today and that by the working of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd help us now and encourage us in your Word. Save somebody that's lost and that one that's near his tail. And we'll give you all the glory for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, quickly as you look in verse 34, let me deal with this, and then I'll move on. As it talks about in verse 34, the rebuilding of Jericho, it talked about Hiel laying the foundation in Abiram, his firstborn, and the gates thereof, and his youngest son, Segub. And what that was if you go back and look in Joshua chapter 6, when the nation of Israel had went in and destroyed Jericho, Joshua said, whoever rebuilds Jericho, said he will lay the foundation at the cost of his firstborn, and said he'll set the gates at the cost of his last one. That's exactly what happened here. So as I read this, I'm always reminded that the Word of God is true. It's always true, and we need to realize that. It'll always come to pass, and it's always true. But these scriptures here that I read deals with King Ahab. And at this time, King Ahab was a wicked king. And the Bible said in verse 33 that he did more to provoke the God of Israel to anger and all the kings of Israel that were before him. Can I say today that as we look at this, that he had got involved in the sins of Jeroboam, which was idol worship. He had married Jezebel. And this is the very first mention of Jezebel. And they brought in and that Baal worship and that to the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, it said that she was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. If I ain't mistaken, the Zidonians, they worshipped Ashtaroth, she was a goddess, if you let me say that. I believe she was the sun, the moon goddess, and I believe Baal was the sun god. And so they worship them. Can I say today that God in heaven is the only one worthy of our worship. He's the only one worthy of our praise. And so as I look at this, I thought about Jezebel. And so if I ask you, and you don't have to say it out loud, it's a rhetorical question, but if I ask you, when you hear the word Jezebel, what do you think? What does that draw to your mind? Every one of us will draw a thought or words to our mind when you hear the word Jezebel. Do you know what her name actually means? The word Jezebel, that name actually means chaste. And boy, you're talking about a far cry from the queen here that was married to the king. I mean, it's a far cry from her. If you know anything about the Zidonians, how she was raised, you can go over and you can look, I believe it is, over in Judges chapter 18, you'll find out that they dwelled quiet and secure, but they were careless in how they done things, and they were idol worshipers. Matter of fact, 1 Kings chapter 11, we preached on Solomon not too long ago on Wednesday night. It said, for Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians. And so we know that she come out of that type of lifestyle. She come out of that. That is what she was used to. How can I say she did not know the God of Israel, but Ahab should have. How can I say that Ahab should have known who the God of Israel was? But for whatever reason, whether it was a political move or whether I have no idea why he would marry Jezebel, but nonetheless, he did. And so when he marries Jezebel and he took her in and that into the kingdom, I'm going to tell you, she was something else. As we're going to see this morning, Jezebel, and this is the title of my message, this is a little different message for Sunday morning, especially just on a mean, wicked woman. And that's what Jezebel was just a mean, wicked woman. I want to look at her life. As I was thinking about this, I told my wife, I said, Jezebel was a woman of means, but she was a mean woman. And I mean, you look at it, I mean, she was a woman that was married to the king, and she could pretty much do what she wanted to do, but she was a person that, number one, first of all, that she was a woman with power. Can I say this real quick this morning? That all the wickedness does not take place in a back alley somewhere or in the back room of a honky-tonk or whether on a street corner, that some of it is in a place of power, and that's what's going on right here. As we study her and look at her and preach on her, you'll find out that she was just wicked and mean. Can I say today that there is people in power that are wicked and mean? Amen. I mean, they're just wicked and mean this morning. We think everybody in power is good. They put on a personification. I know better than that. I mean, when they tell you what they believe, that they're for abortion and they're for transgender rights and they're for sodomy and all that, I can tell you right now they're wicked. Amen. You may not think so, but I know so this morning. And so as we look at Jezebel, I want to look at her, and first of all, she was a woman with power. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 25 that, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did set himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. There again, it talks about Ahab and all the wickedness that he done, that there was none like him. But you know what that verse went on to say? It said, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. She stirred him up to do the wickedness. She stirred him up and that to forsake the God of Israel and that to serve those golden calves that Jeroboam had and to serve Baal and to serve Ashtaroth. She done all those things. She stirred him up. As I looked at this, I thought, you know what? You better be careful who stirs you up. You better be careful what and who moves you. I thought about what Peter said in 2 Peter. He said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And then he goes on to talk about remembering the holy words of God which were spoken by the holy prophets. He said, let the word of God stir you up. I think this morning as Christians, we don't let the word of God stir us anymore. We don't. I mean, it don't move us. I like it should. It don't. I mean, listen. When you hear that, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Don't that do something to you on the inside? It does me. Hey, man. Hey, I'm going to tell you this morning. I knowing that He'll never leave us nor forsake us does something for me. He's mine and I am His. Hey, when I read over there in the book of Psalms where it talks about that the Lord is on my side, that does something for me on the inside. He stirs me on the inside. And it's a God forbid that we ever read in that about Calvary out of Luke chapter 22 and verse 33 or Luke 23 and 33 about Him going to Calvary and dying for our sin and Him not stirring us on the inside or to stir us, friend. I quoted it this morning as we started service about how that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. That ought to stir us on the inside. Because we were all sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Boy, I'm glad that the Bible said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Or to stir us, or to do something on the inside of us. The Word of God ought to move us and stir us. Listen, a good gospel song ought to move you. You know, there's a lot of people, they get stirred by singing, but they never get stirred by the Word of God. Something wrong, friend. If you can get stirred by a good song, but the Word of God don't move you, there's something wrong with you. This book ought to move you this morning. I think good music, I think good singing ought to move you. I think good scriptural music, good scriptural songs ought to move you, ought to do something on the inside of you when we're reminded of what Christ's done and what He's doing for us. But it was her, it was Jezebel that stirred Him up. And we all know what it means to stir up. That means to agitate or to get up and make them move to do something. And so it was Jezebel that had the power. Listen, Ahab had the kingdom, but Jezebel had Ahab. Now you better be careful who's got your heart, because they'll be the ones that's steering you around if you ain't careful today. Listen, it was Jezebel, was it not, in 1 Kings chapter 21 that had Naboth killed and had him killed and that in Ahab's name. I thought about Naboth. We'll read about him here in a minute. But if you remember the story about Naboth, as the king wanted his vineyard that was next to the palace, and Naboth wouldn't give it up. And you know what? He went in and pouted. You know, he's a grown man. He's king of Israel. The Bible said that he went in and laid down on his bed and turned his face toward the wall and would not eat bread. A grown man who is the king of Israel is pouting. And so his wife, who stirs him up, come in and said, "What's the matter with you? Are you not the king of Israel?" And so she devised a plan. Now here's what I'm getting to. I thought about that. The Bible don't tell us much about the righteousness of Naboth, except he said, "The Lord forbid it me that I should sell you my father's inheritance." If you go back to the book of Leviticus, you'll find out that they were not to sell their property. And so he was trying to keep what the Lord had said and what his fathers had given him, how to be inherited to him. But you know what? She said, "You make up some things on Naboth. You tell her, you come in, you set up a big feast, you set Naboth on high, and then you have some sons of Belial, which is wicked men, come in and say he blasphemed God and blasphemed the king, and then take him out and kill him." You know something? I thought about that and thought about that and read that scripture and read that scripture. You know, you don't have to make up stuff on wicked people. Now let that sink in for just a second. You don't have to make up wicked actions on wicked people. In other words, if Naboth was a wicked man, there would have been plenty for them to have accused him of. But she said, let sons of Belial come in and lie on him. Is that not the only way that they could get Daniel? They couldn't even get Daniel at anything. Was he not righteous in his living? Did he not do right and live right? And the only way that they could get him was in concerning praying and that to the God of heaven. And so she's got power, and she's got the king's power. But then She was a woman that had a plan. Well, what was her plan? She wanted to get rid of God and God's people and God's man. How do you figure that? Well, when she came in from Zidon over there and she married in that into Ahab and married into Israel, you'll find out that she brings all those with her. And, I believe she brought Baal worship with her and all those things. And she supplied the prophets of Baal. How do you know that? You go on over to 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, do you know what's going on at this time? There's been a famine in the land. Remember, Elijah come to Ahab and said, there's not going to be any rain as long as I say so. That's what he said. And then he goes and hides himself down by the brook Cherith. And 3.5 years has transpired at this point. And so you find that as he goes, that as he's going to go and out and tell King Ahab that it's going to rain. He says it's going to rain. But in 1 Kings chapter 18 and look in verse 19, as he's going to gather them up and have this great big contest out there, and the God of dancers by fire will be God. And he said, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel and the Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the grove 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Now she supplied for those prophets. Didn't find nothing about her supplying for the men of God. As a matter of fact, if you back up in that chapter, you'll find out, I believe it is, over here in verse 4, when he runs into Obadiah, and the Bible says, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly in verse 3, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. So what's she doing when she cut them off? Well, look over in the latter part of the chapter. Look in verse 13. Obadiah's talking to Elijah right here. Said, was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How that I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed with bread and water? She was killing the people and the men of God. Why is that? I began to consider that. I thought, why couldn't she just let worship be worship? Why is it that they brought in, they were worshiping those golden calves that Jeroboam set up. They brought in Baal worship. No doubt Ashtaroth come in somewhere and all that. I mean, man, they were worshiping everything there at the end. I mean, if it creaked and crawled or was up in the sky, they were worshiping it. But but why could they worship everything else, but they could not worship the true God of heaven? You know why? Because he required allegiance to him only. He required worship to him only, you see. See, and I wondered if those men, that those prophets that she cut off, I wondered if they were preaching against her and against her gods. Kind of like John the Baptist over there when he stood before, who was it? Over Herod's, you know. And what was her name? Herodias, wasn't it? And John the Baptist, you remember what he said? He said, it's not lawful for thee to have Philip thy brother's wife. That's who Herodias was. And I don't know if they got divorced or were shacking up. I don't know, but he said, it's not lawful for you to do that. And by the way, if you go back and look at that, you'll find out that the Bible said that Herod feared John greatly and was glad to hear him. When John came to preach, he was glad to hear him. He was glad to see him. He may not always agreed with him, but he ended up putting him in prison. Now, I heard a preacher preach on that one time. I believe it said that for Herodias' sake over there, he put him in prison, or because she was against him. And he was preaching that in the fact that he had to put him in prison to keep him safe from her. I don't know if that's true or not. But nonetheless, he got put in prison for what he was preaching. And then there come a day that, remember when he was having a party out there and Herodias' daughter come in and danced before them. And he said, I'll give you whatever you want, even up to half my kingdom. Well, you better be careful the kind of vow you make and what you say sometime. So here King Herod is, she's out there dancing, no telling what kind of dancing she's doing. No telling whether she had clothes on or not. I'd say not. And so here they are, and he makes a big statement, says, I'll even give you up to half of my kingdom.
And the Bible said, I believe in the book of Mark, that she goes back and asked her mama about that thing. And she said, I want John the Baptist's head on a charger. In other words, cut his head off and bring it to me on a plate. Why? All because of what John preached is why Herodias was mad at him. I kind of wanted, by the way, she was a mean, wicked woman too, by the way. There's some mean, wicked women out there that get against the men of God. Men, you're going to get it easy today. I may preach on some of y'all later on, but you got to be careful because they hide and they wait in the wings a lot of times. I mean, just like Herodias did. She wasn't like Jezebel was forefront. She was out in the front. Everybody knew what Jezebel was doing. And so you find in 1 Kings 18 that she killed the prophets. I'm telling you right now, there is people in our government that if they could do away with the church, they'd do away with the church. If they could do away with me and you, they would do away with me and you. And I believe they're working on it right now. I really believe that. They're trying their best. They want you to depend on the government. They want you to look to the government. Hey, listen, the government, I remember what Ronald Reagan said one time, and I'll agree. I know he was a politician. I know he was a president, but he was right here. He said, government is not the fix. Government is the problem. Amen. Amen. I love my country, but I am afraid of my government. I don't trust them. I'll be honest with you. If they could do away with me and you this morning in the very fact of the church and what we believe and who we pledge our allegiance to, listen, they would in a heartbeat. In 1 Kings chapter 19, she would have killed Elijah if she could have. You remember that? Elijah come in. They had that great contest up there on Mount Carmel. And God, 63, Elijah prayed 63 words, prophets of Baal and the Grove. They're over here dancing and cutting themselves, bleeding everywhere, blood gushing out everywhere. I mean, from morning till evening. And finally, at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah rebuilds the altar, prays 63 words. And God answers by fire from heaven. Licks up the sacrifice, licks up the water, licks up the rock, licks up the dirt. And I mean, God answered, and he kills all the prophets. And so Ahab goes home and tells Jezebel what Elijah did. And so in chapter 19 verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how that he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. She said, you killed my prophets and I'll kill you by tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you something. She would have done it if she could have. A lot of people say, well, she couldn't have done that. Oh, yeah, she could have. She would have too. I mean, she'd already been killing the men of God. She'd already been killing the preachers and the prophets. I'm telling you, she was a mean, wicked woman. Why is it people despise the people of God? Seriously, this morning. Why is it people despise us? Oh, I understand why they despise a hypocrite. I understand that. But I try not to live a hypocritical life. I know I've got problems. I'm in the same flesh you're in. I've got trouble. I've got problems. But I still try to live right. And a lot of people think that everybody that's trying to live right is just trying to do better than them. No, I'm just trying to please the Lord. I'm not trying to do better than you. You're not my standard. I'm not your standard this morning. Do you realize that? You don't measure yourself against me. You measure yourself against that book right there. That's why people don't like that book. I mean, the Bible talks about it. What was it James said? Man looks into perfect law of liberty because it, you know, like a man beholding himself, beholding his natural face in a glass. It's a mirror. It shows us what we are. It'll tell you if you're lost or saved. It'll tell you whether you're right with God or not. Some people don't like it. That's why people, they think we're crazy when I talk about believing a King James Bible. And it's the only Bible we have. It is. Amen. I believe that. Why is it they only attack it? They don't attack each other. You ever think about that? You don't see the NIV attacking the New American Standard. They all want to attack the King James Bible. Can I say this?
that when you get a final authority in your life and you say, all right, the Bible is my final authority, whatever it says, that's how I'm going to live. I'm going to do what this Bible says to do. That's how I'm going to live. People think you're crazy. God is my final authority. This book right here is my final authority. Bible talks about 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's the end time. You know, what was it in verse 1? This know also in the last times. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. You come down to verse 3. It talks about, says, without natural affection. It talks about how people will be in the last times. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. And then it says, despisers of those that are good. They just hate us because we try to live good and try to live right. We want to help our neighbor. We want to point them to heaven. We want to tell them about heaven. They hate you for that. Not all of them is in government. There's people out there in the world. Listen, that's the way they are. Matthew chapter 7. Why do you think he said, give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody understands what's holy and what's not. Not everybody understands what's precious and what's not. Amen. There's wicked people out there. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. You know that showbread that was holy, that had been sanctified over there in the temple and in the tabernacle. I believe that's what that's talking about when he says, give that not which is holy. Them dogs don't know that that stuff's holy bread. They just going to woof it right up. It's the way the world is. They don't know what's holy. They don't know what's right. The wicked does not care. Take your Bible and go to the book of Romans chapter 3. Look in Romans chapter 3. Now I'm talking about the wicked this morning. They don't understand us. They don't understand the Word of God. They're not saved. They're wicked and vile. And by the way, when you were unsaved, that's how you were. You just needed to come to a Savior. You say, well, I wasn't that bad. Yeah, but you was dying, going to hell, and needed a Savior. Romans chapter 3, look in verse 10. Romans 3 verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. See, without God drawing you, you won't seek Him. Do you know that? A lot of people say, well, I'll come to God. No, not unless He draws you. I believe it's got to be, and that under the power and the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God to bring you to a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus the Lord. Why? There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Their tongues have they used deceit. With their tongues have they used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Who's that sound like? That sound like Jezebel? It does, don't it? She wasn't seeking God, was she? Her throat and her tongue just spewed out all kinds of, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And so they don't want to know. They don't know anything. And they don't care. Now, I'm not around people like that very, very often. I don't run into people like that very, very much. But I don't go a lot of places either. But there is people out there today that could care less whether you serve God or not. As a matter of fact, because you do, they'll hate you for it. And if they had their way, they'd do away with us because of it. You may not believe that, but there's people that way. And if they get in power, and when they're in power, they'll try to do something about it. I'm going to tell you, it's only by the grace of God that we're still able to come and worship today as we worship. Amen. It's by His wonderful mercy and by His, oh, preacher, that can't be taken away. Ask the people over in Australia if it can't be taken away. Ask the people up in Canada if it can't be taken away. And by the way, I'm going to get on my soapbox. You know the problem that happened in Australia? They took their guns away a long time ago, and now they ain't got a way to defend themselves. Amen. You can amen it or not, but I'm just telling the truth this morning. That Second Amendment was put there not to protect us from each other, but to protect us from the government. And if you don't think a government will do what they're doing, look around the world and see what's going on over there. And when that's just what they're telling us. We have no idea what's going on. All I know is the truth of what Brother Morris, you can read the letters. I'll try to get his newest letter posted back there. You know, Brother Morris is one of our missionaries in that to Australia. And they are under lockdown over there. Amen. That was good, wasn't it? And didn't cost you nothing extra. Huh? If you don't think that can happen here, just hold on for a little while. But anyway, let's get back to Jezebel. She wasn't afraid to kill the men of God and the people of God. She had a plan. I'm telling you, she was wicked. But I want you to see something about wickedness. She was prophesied against. If you take your Bible and go back to the book of 1 Kings chapter 21. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 21. And I want you to look. Now, what's happened here is she has had Naboth killed. You remember I told you a story about Naboth? And God was watching every bit of it. And after all that happens, he tells Elijah, said, you go down and you meet King Ahab down there in the vineyard of Naboth. I believe he was a Jezreelite. And he said, this is what I want you to say in verse 19. Look in 1 Kings 21 verse 19. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed also, and also taken possession, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. God said, I'm going to cut your posterity, those after you, all the way off, and thou'll not be king. And will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger, and made Israel to sin. Now pay attention. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like an Ahab which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel's wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all as did the Amorites, which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass when Ahab, now pay attention right here in verse 27. And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Boy, ain't God merciful. When I read that verse, you're talking about something that stirs my heart. I read that verse right there about Ahab, knowing about all the wickedness that Ahab done and everything that he allowed to happen and all the worship that he done of idols and turned away from God. But yet when Elijah says, hey, this is what's going to happen, he repents. Ain't you glad God will let you repent? Ain't you glad God will let you get right? Don't matter how wicked you've been, God will let you get right. Don't matter how mean you've been, God will let you get right. That's amazing to me. He repented. But you know what I didn't see right here? I didn't see where Jezebel repented. I did not see that. And so we come back and we read, there's one verse right here in verse 23 says, and of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. So the dogs are going to come and eat her. How does that happen? If you take your Bible and you go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 9, now Elisha is the prophet of God. Stay with me. I'm just about to close, okay? Ain't this been exciting this morning? Amen. A mean, wicked woman, I'm telling you. There are those in power, whether man or woman, that would do something with us. But what I want you to get right here is, you know, God always comes out on top no matter what. Always comes out on top. In 2 Kings chapter 9, you'll find that Elisha sends one of his preacher boys down there and he says, I want you to go down. I want you to anoint Jehu king over Israel. And he says, here's what I want you to tell him in 2 Kings chapter 9. And he says, take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. He said, all right, so you go down there, you anoint him king over Israel. Tell him what I've got to tell you. And then you run away. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. When he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting. He said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, under which of all us? And he said, to thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. So he said, God has anointed you king over Israel, and you're going to be the one that goes out and takes care of the Lord's business. As a matter of fact, it's almost, if you read on down through there, all the words that Elijah had said. Talks about in verse 9. Said, well, let me come back up to verse 8. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off Ahab, him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Just, ain't that what Elijah said? Elijah said, gonna cut him off. And go to kill Jezebel, and she's going to be eaten by the dogs. Well, that's a bad way to go out, ain't it? Look in verse 30 of 2 Kings chapter 9. Jehu's been out taking care of the business of the Lord. And in verse 30, when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her face and tired her head. And looked out a window. So she put her makeup on, put an attire on her head, wrapped her head up, put whatever kind of scarf, rag, hat, I don't know what she's put on, but she's putting an attire in her head. And the Bible said, and she looks out a window, and she sees Jehu coming. And as Jehu entered in the gate, she said, had Zimri peace, who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trod her underfoot. Now notice what's going on. Jehu comes into town. She sticks her head out the window. Says something to him. He said, is there anybody up there on my side? A couple of eunuchs looked out. And he said, throw her down on the ground. That's what he said. They got a hold of her. Throwed her out the window. Now the Bible said that blood was on the wall, on the ground, and he trod on top of her with his horses. In other words, he rode over her. And when he was come in, verse 34, he did eat and drink. Didn't bother him. He did eat and drink and said, go, see now this cursed woman. Notice what she was. Go, see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. He was going to have mercy in the very fact that she was King Ethabal's daughter and was going to bury her. Now look in verse 35. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. And wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall the dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. I took a couple of things from this as I read this. One, I took that the Word of God is always true. It's always going to come to pass. Elijah prophesied, hey, that's what's going to happen. It took a while to get there, but it got there. You know, we're always looking for things to happen now. We're looking for God to move now. We're wanting God to move on our behalf now. I'd say there were some people in the nation of Israel at that time would have loved for Jezebel to have been gone a whole lot sooner than what she was. But the Word of God always comes true. But it came true just like He said it would. And then notice what it said right here, that those dogs ate her, but it would not eat her skull and her feet and her palms. You ever wonder why? Brother Jeff alluded to that this morning more than once while he was teaching Sunday school. That those were the things that she'd done wickedness with. She thought wickedly, she spoke wickedly, her hands done wickedly, and her feet done wickedly. What was the three things that those dogs would not eat? Would not eat her skull, would not eat her hands, and would not eat her feet. Even the dogs knew what she was. But you know what? Wickedness always comes to an end, and God always has to say. Psalms chapter 37, the psalmist said, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. The psalmist said, I seen the wicked spread themselves out so big, they were like that green bay tree, and then one day I looked for him, and he wasn't there. You go back to Psalms chapter 37, the beginning of it is David said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. We worry today about who's in rule. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know whether we should worry, but we should be very concerned, because there are people out there today. We've got it in our mind that there always has to be a United States, and we've got it in our mind that church always has to go like it's always been. There was times through the past, especially through the Dark Ages, that they met in caves, the church did. I mean, when the Roman Catholic Church was chasing the true Christians and trying to martyr them and kill them, I thought of this verse, Proverbs 29, as I stand. I'm going to close here. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I reckon how many people mourned when Jezebel showed up. I mean, she was a mean, wicked woman. I think a lot of people knew she was mean and wicked. You better be careful with who stirs your heart. You better be careful with who you follow. And you better be careful what you are. Now, let's bow our heads this morning, if we would, across the house.